Welcome to the DF4Q edition of the Discover Film Podcast. All right, so what does DF4Q mean? That's the Discover Film 4 questions. And those 4 questions are, number 1, your favorite movie of all time. Number 2, a movie you think is underrated. Number 3, a movie you think is overrated. And number 4, a lesser known movie you want people to look up. Today we're going to hear the DF4Q answered by Jamie Brindle. You can actually watch Jamie's short film, The Catcher, at discoverfilm.net right now. I guarantee you're going to like The Catcher. I can't guarantee you're going to like his answers to the DF4Q, but there's only one way to find out.
All right, well, I didn't put we lacked a clock. I think I should have had a clock here for us.
How long are we at? What did we hit?
It's in some weird frame rate thing, so I actually cannot tell you. But let's do the 4 questions.
Okay, cool. What do you got?
Because I gave them to you. But so go ahead and name for me.
Oh, okay.
I gave the 3 less, but what are your favorite films of all time?
Favorite films?
You can go longer than 3.
Yeah, I told you. It's like I could. I mean, they change, right? Like it's like you, if you asked me in an hour from now, it might be a different answer. But the most consistent answers on that list for me. I'm a big fan of. I'm a big Capra fan, and I think the ideal Capra film is It's a Wonderful Life. So that's got to be on there. I think Capra's a master of the payoff. You know, which is something that I want to try and master, and that's everything I do is approaching it from a different angle, trying to figure out what the right way to do it is. To that degree, I'm also watching a lot of Michael Curtiz right now because I think he moves the camera like nobody else. It was great. Gladiator. I love Gladiator. I think Gladiator is an extremely well-rounded movie. I think it hits all the beats, just nails every beat that it's supposed to nail.
And Ridley's a god.
I went and saw it at ArcLight when they, you know how they play movies every Monday, they'll play it, because I never saw Gladiator in theaters, and I got to see it in theaters, and I was like, could I love this movie anymore? But to hear that beautiful score, you know, in 7.1 and, oh, sorry, my phone's vibrating. To hear that score in 7.1 and, you know, and the whole audience is just cheering through the whole thing because it's so good. And then to that, I'd say a third favorite would be, I'd meet those two films in the middle and say Lawrence of Arabia is probably a third favorite for me. I think Lawrence of Arabia, super well-rounded storytelling. I don't think that movie could be a minute shorter than it was, you know, but it's just the lemonade scene in Lawrence of Arabia is phenomenal.
But very classical choices.
Yeah.
You made a film, based on history, and here you are.
Well, those are the guys I study.
Going back to the classics.
Those are the guys I study because those are the guys that my contemporary idols study, you know, and so it's... Yeah, I want to emulate them, and so I do it by studying who they studied, you know. And I think that there's a lot to be learned. A lot of people make the error of thinking that those movies are like somehow naive, but I mean, watch Wings, the first movie to ever get an Oscar in 1927, and they're doing, you know, dolly moves that like are tough to pull off now, you know. And it's just these guys just
there are films that are timeless.
And Lawrence of Arabia harkens back to what we were talking about on This Is My Year, where it's just they cast the hell out of that movie. I mean, that movie is beautifully cast. I guess all three of them are, but like Peter O'Toole, that was, you know, one of his first big performances, and he was phenomenal in that movie.
Yeah, that's a beautiful film.
Really well cut too. If you want like a master class in editing, that's, you know, how to string scenes together, Lawrence of Arabia is really well cut. Yeah,
okay.
Those are my three.
Good recommendations.
Like,
those are your three.
But
you didn't even go
right
to Star
now.
Wars. I love it.
Yeah, well, that's an obvious choice.
All right, and then a great film that you generally feel is underrated.
I think that, you know, a lot of people give me crap for liking Michael Bay, but I love Michael Bay, man. I think those movies are hilarious. Bad Boys 2. I'll say Bad Boys 2. A lot of people...
Bad Boys 2.
A lot of my film nut buddies will give me crap for liking Bad Boys 2, but I will watch that thing from beginning to end. Anytime it's on TV.
I really wanted to see the last Transformers.
Yeah, they're just fun.
Those are some big robots. That's all I got to say.
God,
I haven't seen one, I think, since the first Transformers.
Yeah, I dragged myself to
a theater in Ireland. I was traveling through Ireland, and it came out, and I'm like, I got to see it. I'm just going to see it in Ireland.
Yeah. And you enjoyed it?
I love it.
I just Bayham, man. You know, it's what's interesting is he's like him or not, he's one of those directors that's doing something different, you know? I mean, he created a genre of, you know, this just chaotic cutting, and it looks, you know, a lot of the times it's to his detriment, but for the most part, you know, he gets an emotion out of you and you enjoy it.
Yeah.
I'll say another good underrated movie is, I think The Fountain, the Darren Aronofsky movie, The Fountain. A lot of people push that one aside, and I'm a big fan of that one. That movie just makes you feel, you know, you don't really have to understand it. And I don't think even the actors understood it. I think they've admitted that they had no clue where they were supposed to be in certain scenes. And they were just, he's just directing them to just, you know, just to feel the emotion.
Yeah.
That's just a study in grief, man. It's just a beautiful study in
grief.
I
liked it.
Yeah.
All right, so now here's the question number three, which is the smack talk one, which is a film everyone seems to love that you think is overrated.
So this one, I got a lot of flack for this when this movie came out, but I think that people are starting to come over to my side, was when Dark Knight Rises came out, I left that theater hating so hard on that movie, right? And people were like, oh my God, it was fantastic, what do you mean? And I could not stand that movie from the get-go. I thought which blew my, because I'm a huge Chris Nolan fan, right? And I was like, oh man, he let me down. It was, and to his credit, I think he kind of got pushed into making the movie he didn't want to make because of the loss of Heath Ledger, and he had it all planned out, and now it's just kind of like, give us a third one, you know? But that movie, I think, had all kinds of pacing issues, and, you know, they try to introduce 19 new characters in the first 2 hours, and, you know, it's... But I think some people, I don't know, what do you think of Dark Knight Rises? Some people really like that movie still.
I don't think his heart, I agree. I don't think his heart was in any of the comic book movies, to
be
honest.
Yeah. I think you can see some of it in Begins. You can see, you know, in the first act of Begins, it's very interesting. And then, you know, Dark Knight Rises is good because Heath Ledger's just phenomenal in it. You know,
it was impressive, but it was, I enjoyed it,
yeah.
But I actually have not gone back to see it since I saw it in theaters.
Yeah, I haven't.
And I'm not driven to.
Yeah. I think, that one. And then another one that I don't have hatred for, but I I don't hate Dark Knight Rises, but it's a pretty bad movie. But the most recent one that I think a lot of my buddies disagree with me on was Rogue One, actually. I actually went and saw Rogue One, and I had some issues with it. And I think I went in expecting to just fanboy so hard over it. And, you know, I had friends coming out of that movie saying that was the best Star Wars movie they'd ever seen. And I was like, kind of a weak movie.
It is contentious. Yeah. I would actually debate you.
Yeah.
I'm on the
it's
fan side.
It's a divisive opinion. I enjoyed it, by the way. Like, I thought it was a great movie, and
I can see how it wouldn't be for.
I would watch anything to watch that scene with Darth Vader at the end of the movie. I would, like, you could sit me down and make me watch 3 hours of Teletubbies, and I would do it with a smile on my face if I knew that Darth Vader was going to tear through, you know, a bunch of rebel troops at the end of this thing. And that was masterful. But I think I think that the character of Jyn Erso was a very different character than the Star Wars universe is used to, in that things happen to her, you know. And I've seen a couple different videos on this, that she's a passive protagonist, and she doesn't have any real impact on the plot, you know. It's like Indiana Jones. If Indiana Jones wasn't in Raiders of the Lost Ark, it still would have ended the same way, you know. And that's kind of the issue I have with Rogue One, is that it just kind of happens, you know. And when you put it up next to a movie like Force Awakens, where you're just getting pulled through this story, you know, by these guys, it might be that I had a high bar set for it. You know, I hold it to a higher standard, but
But have you seen it a second time? Have you gone?
Yeah, I bought it. I bought it and watched it a few times. And like I said, I enjoy the movie, but that's one that I think just missed the mark. And I almost like watching those movies more, because you isolate where the mark was, you know, and how they missed it.
But also, one of the key words in the question is overrated. So if there weren't people running around saying that's better than any of the original trilogy
movie I've ever seen,
you obviously got a knee jerk against the people who might overstate it.
Yeah, totally. And I think I think it was fun. I thought the locations were great. It looks like they pulled, from what I understand, they pulled a lot of scenes from the trailer out of the movie that I think could have been really interesting. They kind of had a, you know, a D-Day shot where they were, like, storming the AT-AT walkers, you know. That didn't make it into the movie. Like, that stuff would have been great. Wouldn't have helped the issues that I have with it, but I would have really, really loved that in it. But, yeah, I think that's the... Those will be my two.
All right. Well, the last question, and it's probably the toughest, a lesser-known film that you really want to recommend for people, like something that people, you know, like some little personal favorite that most people haven't seen. I mean, obviously, filmmakers tend to all see the same stuff, but, you know, if there's just something, something you love that you want to just tell people, you know what, don't let this one slip.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I would put The Fountain on that list, but let's see here. What else? A lesser known...
It's probably a good one to put on.
That is a good
one. I don't think everyone's seen it.
People don't even know what it is, a lot of people. I think that's one. Here's a little higher budget movie that I think kind of slipped under the radar is the Ben Stiller, Walter Mitty movie. I really enjoy that movie. I don't know. Do you like it? Have you seen it?
I didn't see it.
See? Okay, cool. So we'll make this the answer then. Go see the Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Oh.
You don't think that...
look what you've done to me. I have an allergy to Ben Stiller, but I will overcome my Ben Stiller allergy. I'll be loyal to the content.
I actually do too. And here's... I didn't see it in theaters, and my fiance is obsessed with this movie, right? Like, she watches it all the time. And I sat down and watched it, and I loved it. I think it's, again, it's great performances, but it's just one of those movies that you watch and you just feel good at the end of it, you know? I bet you you'll get over the Ben Stiller thing. There's some great Patton Oswalt moments in it. There's some great...
I like him in some things.
Yeah.
I really do, but I just jokingly avoid him, actually.
It's not his, like, you know, style of comedy. It's more of a drama.
Well, if he's only the actor, then it has a chance.
Well, he's the director, too.
That's it. The first ever DF4Q. I really want to thank Jamie Brindle for coming over and being the guinea pig that goes first with this. Anyway, if you have any questions, concerns, or complaints, everything you need is at discoverfilm.net. All right. Thanks for listening.